Hi, I'm Philip Shepherd. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this amazing once-in-a-lifetime conference, and especially to the Meditation and Breathwork channel, which I'm proud to be sponsoring because meditation and breathwork are essential to my teachings. I'm the founder of the Embodied Present Process, or TEP, which is based on my two books and is taught worldwide. And here's one thing I believe about meditation and breathwork. You limit your experience of both if you imagine that your mind is just the thoughts in your head. Your mind permeates your every cell. Every stirring of energy within your body is an expression of it. So, if you wish to calm your mind, the most direct route is to develop the skills that enable you to feel the body's energy and ground it in the spaciousness of the present. That's what my work is about. If that appeals to you, I hope you'll check out my two presentations, one on this channel and one on the main stage. You might also be interested in a special offer exclusive to the Embodiment Conference to listen to one of my embodied meditations for yourself for free. You can find a link to the special offer in the description of this presentation or on the show notes. And now, enjoy the presentation.
Hello, welcome everyone to this session with Dan Brulé. It's my pleasure to introduce Dan. I've seen a bit of his work already on past events, and he's a pioneer in the field of breathwork. So he's the author of Just Breathe, Mastering Breathwork for Success in Life, Love, Business and Beyond, which is in a ton of different languages. He's a renowned pioneer, one of the originators of breath therapy, among the first in the original group of internationally certified rebirthers. He's also a master prana yoga, qigong, and the leader of worldwide spiritual breathing movement. He's like trained a ton of people, hundreds of thousands of people in nearly 100 countries, Olympic athletes, elite warriors, martial artists, and all those sorts. So today he's talking to us about how to breathe more life into your body, a meditation on infusing every cell with breath energy and giving yourself the feeling of breathing into and with your entire body. So, Dan, pleasure to have you here, and take it over.
Okay. Well, thank you. So that was a simple sigh of relief. You might want to try one yourself right now. A sigh of relief, which is an inhale, is twice as big as normal, followed by an exaggerated letting go. It should feel so good, you want to do it again. So one simple breath can be enough for us to shift from any state into any other state. One breath is enough for us to come fully into our body, fully into the present moment, fully open, fully available, fully grounded, fully centered, and ready for what is. I had a great spiritual teacher whose basic insight is a moment of awakening, was this realization that what we need to do is to get to learn how to be with what is as it is. To be with what is as it is. Take a couple of breaths and integrate that advice. What does it mean to be with what is as it is? Byron Katie mentions it in a slightly different way. She says, you know, when you fight with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. So we are immersed in a reality. And we are only conscious of a fraction of that reality. So we need to open and expand. We need to open and expand our consciousness so we can take in more of what is and who we are. And we need to learn how to relax and let go so we can release anything that's holding us back, anything that's blocking us from full realization of who we are and what is real. So I have two favorite teachers, Patanjali, however you want to pronounce his name. He is responsible for, he's called the father of yoga. He's the author of the Yoga Sutras, ancient teachings on yoga, and the Buddha. And it's interesting, both of these guys had the same purpose in life. What is the cause of suffering, and what is the cure for suffering? And they both set out on their own individual paths. They didn't meet, they never knew each other. They lived in different places at different times. But they arrived at the same list of the causes of suffering and the same list of the cure for suffering. That's pretty cool. When two teachers, unrelated, two schools, two methods, unrelated, arrive at the same point, they just saved us a lot of trouble. And so we should take their advice. And it's interesting, they both use the same metaphor when they were describing the work that we need to do on the level of consciousness. And that is that they use the analogy or the metaphor of a perfect diamond, a flawless jewel, right? A perfect gem. And they said, our consciousness needs to be like this. And I think one of Patanjali's students or followers, I like to think it was me, came up with an even better analogy. And that is the analogy of water. Water has two interesting properties. It is transparent. You can see through the water to the bottom. And water is reflective. You can see yourself reflected in consciousness. And that is, if your consciousness is still, if your consciousness is pure. When there are waves on the surface of the water, you can't trust the reflection. You're getting a warped reflection. And when the water is full of currents and movements and particles, it's not transparent. You can't see through it. So this is the work we need to do on the level of consciousness. Because right now our consciousness is like a circus mirror. You know those mirrors at a circus or a festival? You stand in front of the mirror and it looks like you're short and fat with a big butt, or you're tall and skinny with a little tiny head, the pinhead. When we look in, we say, it's kind of funny. Oh, look how weird you look in this mirror. And because the mirror is warped, you know, it produces this weird reflective image. Imagine someone standing in front of that mirror and suffering and crying because they believe what they're seeing. You know, we would say, don't be silly. That's not how you look. That's not really who you are. It's because the mirror is warped. Well, what if the same thing is true about our consciousness? What if there's something about our consciousness that is not pure, that is not still, that is not clear? And through consciousness, we're getting information and we're believing that information. So I look out at the world and I see pain and violence and suffering and evil and ignorance. Is it really there? Or is that a factor of my own consciousness? Is that a limitation, an error, a problem in my own consciousness? So for me, breath work is about that work, about becoming more conscious, expanding our consciousness, raising our consciousness, refining our awareness and our consciousness. And in this way, we can begin to realize who we really are. So breathwork has a potential to burn away our ignorance, to clear away our unconsciousness, to release any blockages, any limitations. So we want to play with our breath in such a way to do that. Yeah. So I have a good friend, Barnett Bain, who gave me this really beautiful analogy or metaphor or understanding of exactly what we want to focus on today, because the theme is embodiment. And how do we, our spirit is infinite. Our intelligence is infinite. Our energy is infinite. How do we contain all that energy? How do we embody that universal reality, right? That's the challenge. And it's an exciting challenge. So he gives this analogy that if you take a little baby puppy away from its mother, or a little baby kitten away from its mother, you're going to hear from both of them, because you have severed an energetic bond. and the mother is not happy, and the baby is feeling overwhelming sensations of aliveness. They are distressing sensations of aliveness. They are distressing feelings of aliveness, but they are feelings of aliveness nonetheless. And that's why if you bring a little baby puppy home, it cries for the first 3 nights that it's home. It's processing that severing of the energetic bond with its mother. And it just cries all night for 3 nights until it's processed out all that trauma, all that that experience. Well, we have the same experience. As little babies, we were separated from our mothers, or we were sleeping, we woke up and she was in the bathroom, or she was taking care of another child, or she was in the kitchen, and we woke up and we looked around and she wasn't there. Ah! And we're suddenly filled with overwhelming feelings of distressing aliveness. And we're gonna scream and we're gonna cry until our mother shows up again. And then all's right with the world, we feel wonderful. But what do we do with those feelings if the mother doesn't come? And you know, for a child, 1 minute is eternity. You know, 30 seconds is 5 years, right? So what do we do when we, as little babies, felt that fear, those overwhelming sensations in our body of distress, of fear, anxiety, or whatever it was? Well, this is what humans do. First, we try to go unconscious because it's too much to bear. So the best thing I can do is go unconscious and escape from the feelings in my body. There's no other way to escape. Or I leave my body. The only way to escape those feelings is to escape my body. And so that's what we do as small children, infants, and newborns. We leave town. We abandon ship. we shuttle out of our body up into our head. So when we're 3 or 4 years old and the cognitive centers come online, we add storytelling to this escaping of the body, this leaving town, this abandoning ship. We're trying to escape those horrible feelings, but they're in our body. And the only way to escape them is to escape our body. Now, Barnett Bain, he's a Hollywood producer, a creative director, a filmmaker, and a genius creative person. And he does workshops on creativity. And he uses this story to make the connection to creativity and how creativity is a feeling thing. It's not a thinking thing. Creativity is a body thing. It's a heart thing. It's an emotional thing. It's not an intellectual, rational thing, right? Creativity, the impulse, registers in the body. And then maybe we send it up into our head later to work out all the logistics. But the original impression, the original impulse is feeling, body, feeling, heart, emotion. So since we left our body, we cut ourselves off from the source of our creativity. The only way to reawaken our natural creativity is to get back into the body. The only way to get back into the body is to breathe. But when we breathe, we wake up all the feelings that frightened us out of our body as an infant or a two-year-old child. So Barnett Bain points out something else very interesting. He points out that if you test a three-year-old child, something like 98% of three-year-old children exhibit qualities of genius. They test as geniuses. 98% of a three-year-old children test as geniuses. If you test a college-age person, 2% test as geniuses. What happened to our natural genius? What happened to our natural creativity? Yes, programming in schools, teaching kids to sit still and shut up when they need to move and dance and shout in order to learn and integrate information. Religious programming, social, cultural programming, family conditioning, all of that stuff can stifle our natural creative spirit. And the breath is a way to reintroduce us to this. So we're going to do a little quick test, that you can learn for yourself the map that you use to leave town. you can get in touch with the feelings that frighten you out of your body. And the breath will bring them up, and then you can recognize them. And then you can learn to breathe into those feelings, relax into those feelings, coach and nurture yourself with positive psychology so you can navigate those feelings. And when you go through them, you break through the other side into the space of freedom and creativity and original genius and all kinds of really beautiful things. So what I want you to do is, I want you to put your fingers on your collarbones up here, because this particular exercise is not diaphragmatic breathing. Diaphragmatic breathing is vital, very important. You need to learn it. You need to master it. You need to be really good at diaphragmatic breathing, because diaphragmatic breathing is anti-anxiety, anti-stress. It's just it's natural. It helps us be grounded in our body, anchored in our body, grounded to the earth. Diaphragmatic breathing stabilizes us on whatever level we happen to be at. When you send the breath up higher into your heart than the upper spaces of your lungs, you trigger a transformational process. And you know, the best example of transformation that we can use is a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Now that's a transformation, right? A total metamorphosis, a total transformation of one kind of a being into another kind of a being. Well, if a caterpillar had a human mind, it would never become a butterfly. Because as soon as that process of transformation began, it would go, what's happening? What's happening? Call a doctor, save me, I'm dying, help, help. And you would interfere in that process of transformation. So thank God caterpillars do not have human minds, or we would have very few butterflies in the world. So when you enter a transformational process, the same thing happens. Everything starts to change inside of you, and you can become frightened. What's happening to me? Something's happening. Help, help, stop it. It's actually something beautiful. Maybe something we've been dreaming about and praying for forever, and it's finally happening, but it's so big. It's so overwhelming. It becomes distressing to our system, right? So we want to start to understand, what are those feelings that can block us from creativity, that can frighten us out of our body, block our connection to our body, and prevent us from fully embodying ourselves, right? And so you put your fingers on your collarbones, and I want you to big mouth, wide open, big breaths, way up high. Start with 5 breaths like this. As big as you can. Big eyes, big mouth. 5 breaths. Do it now. How do you feel? What's beginning to happen inside of you? Dizziness, something. You are beginning to recognize the feelings that frightened you out of your body as a 2-year-old child or a 6-month-old child. And all you need to do once you activate those feelings is adjust your breathing in such a way that you keep breathing, but you breathe more gently, and you breathe into those feelings. You enter those feelings with the breath. You don't try to escape them. You don't try to make them go away. You don't try to control them. You don't try to manage them. You don't try to change them. They are your feelings. They are feelings of aliveness. Open to them. And the way we open to feelings is we inhale, we open and expand. We give more space inside of us, and then we relax and let go. And you settle into the present moment. You sink into your body. We use the exhale to drop down. So the inhale is twice as big as normal. Create that extra stretch, that extra expansion. And then you let go and relax. Give yourself a luxurious sigh of relief. Relax your jaw, relax your neck, relax your shoulders, relax your forehead, relax your spine, relax your belly, relax your chest. Use the exhale to relax and let go. And imagine dropping down. So you ride the exhale down into your center, into your hara, into your core, into your essence, to your source. Open and expand. Relax and let go. No matter what you feel, if it's wonderful, open to it and use your breath to open to it fully. And then relax and let go and melt into it. That's the best thing you can do if you're experiencing something beautiful, a beautiful sunset. Don't just look at it, breathe it in, take it in, fill yourself with the moment of the sunset, and then let go and relax and receive. Breathe in what you look at, breathe in what you listen to, breathe in what you touch. Bring breathing as another sense organ, another way to connect with reality besides sight and sound and sense and hearing and smell, right? Make the breathing another sense organ, another way to connect with reality. You get more information through your breath than you get through anything else, but it goes directly into your subconscious. It goes directly into the cells of your body. It goes directly into your nervous system. We want to wake up to that information, open to it, welcome it. If it's scary, if it's wonderful, if it's beautiful, you still do the same thing. If it's something uncomfortable or scary, it's real. It's happening now. The best thing you can do is open to it completely. It's reality. Don't fight it. It is what it is. So you open to it. It's a pain. It's a confusion. It's a thought, whatever. You use your inhale and you open yourself, and then you use your exhale and you let go and relax, and you drop into your center. You drop down into your body. And at the same time, your borders dissolve and you can merge with nature and the existence around you and every other living and breathing creature. When we become fully embodied, we connect to everyone else in a deeper way. The more we embody ourselves, the more conscious we are, the more the doors of our perception are open, the more we feel our connection to everyone else. And then violence becomes impossible. How can I possibly hurt another person if I feel, and not just theoretically and philosophically, my connection, but I palpably can feel my connection to the other person. And when they have pain, ooh, I feel something in my body. And when they have joy, I feel something in my body. That is the connection that we all have that is all real. But we have shut that connection down. Imagine yourself as an infant, wide open, sensitive to everything, sensitive to everyone, taking in all the information, everyone's fear, everyone's pain, everyone's joy, everyone's sadness, everyone's creativity. We're wide open and we're raw and we're taking in all this information, all this energy. It's overwhelming to us. And so we learn to shut our antenna off and we learn to contract inside. And we learn to put up barriers around us and blockages so we can kind of contain ourselves and keep out all these forces that are creating all this chaos in our system. We haven't grown and matured enough to be able to handle all that energy. But then once we grow and we're intelligent and we're wise and we have skills, you can let those antennae open again. You can let those barriers down because you are not going to be fully embodied until you are fully conscious and acknowledging your connection to everyone else who is in a body, right? There is one being in this universe, being me and being you. And in order for me to fully embody myself, I have to begin to identify with that one being because it is living through me, in me, as me. And so when I connect to myself, I connect in to the essence of myself, I connect to the essence of everyone. And when I go to the center of myself, I pop up in the same place that you pop up when you go to the center of yourself. We meet in that field that Rumi talked about, beyond right and wrong, beyond good and bad, beyond me and you, beyond past and future. Let's meet in that field where there is no separation, where we are all one. So connecting to every living being on the planet is necessary for us to connect to who we are fully. And when we connect to who we are fully, we automatically begin to connect more deeply and more consciously with everything and everyone else that lives and breathes. So how do we embody ourselves completely? We use our breath. And when you are breathing in, send that breath, use your imagination, visualization, imagery. And when you breathe in, imagine, visualize sending that breath to every cell in your body, every bone, every organ, every part, every joint, every muscle, every tissue, every cell in your body. So you breathe in, and it's a meditation. I'm breathing in. And as I'm breathing in, I'm sending that energy to every cell of my body. I'm letting my whole body breathe. I'm letting the breath go beyond my lungs. And I am directing that breath energy to every part of me. Our body is our subconscious mind. Our body is a 3D representation of our subconscious mind. So all of the memories that we have, our unconscious memories, shocks and traumas early in life that frightened us out of our body, trying to escape the trauma and the pain. In order to get back into our body, we have to move past through all those traumas again to come back home to our body. Breathing helps us navigate our way back through that stuff so we can become fully embodied again. So I invite the breath. I breathe into every cell of my body, and then I let go and relax. And I let go of everything. Let go of my forehead, let go of my temples, let go of my jaw, let go of my neck, let go of my shoulders. Let go of fears, let go of anxieties, let go of thoughts, let go of beliefs, let go of the past. Let go of resentment, let go of anger, let go of doubt, let go of confusion. Apply each breath to this process of inviting more energy of life, you know, inspiration, expiration, respiration. Spirit is the root of that word. It's no accident. When we breathe, respiration, re-spiriting, right? We inspiration. Breathing spirit into us, expiration, sending spirit out into the world. We're talking about spirit when we breathe, and it's up to us to awaken that spirit, acknowledge that spirit, and activate it, unlock it, and celebrate that spirit. You know, if you have a job, you have a relationship, what do you bring to that job? You bring your talent, you bring your education, you bring your skills. What do you bring to a relationship? You bring your passion, you bring your love, you bring your spirit. That's what we bring. So we use the breath to awaken our spirit. And then we allow that spirit to permeate every level of our being. So I live in the desert, where the soil is very hard-packed, mineral-rich soil. But I'm in the Baja, in the desert. And so when it rains, the water hits the surface of the earth, and it just rolls along the surface, and it tries to make its way to the ocean. The soil cannot absorb the water because the soil is so hard-packed, and it washed, the rain comes, and it washes away all the topsoil, and you're left with this barren desert soil, right? But if you loosen the soil, if you soften the soil, then the next time it rains, guess what happens? The soil drinks up the water. So relaxation is a vital part of breathing. Breathing delivers the energy to us. But if we're not soft, if we're not open, the energy cannot penetrate us. The air will go in and out of our lungs. We can huff and puff, but we're going to be missing the juice of life, the prana, the chi, the ki, the spirit, the essence. the energy of life. In order for us to be penetrated by that energy, we need to open and soften. We need to invite, we need to welcome, and we need to be available. So breathing and relaxation go together. And when you bring them together, that's like the sweet sauce. That's like the secret ingredient, the secret formula, bringing together powerful breathing and total relaxation in the light of high awareness, of conscious awareness. And it's a very simple practice. I'm wide awake, I'm breathing in a powerful way, and I'm relaxing completely. And if you practice that, you will awaken creative abilities, you will awaken creative energies, healing energies, you will reconnect to your source, you will dissolve any blockages, you will return to your innocence, you will connect from your heart to every living being on the planet, and you will be closer and closer to living a perfected life, a fully realized existence. And it's all based on breathing. So I want you to take another one of these, take five breaths. I want you to take 10 breaths this time. If you can manage 10, do 15. We want to activate a lot of energy. So you're going to do 5, 10, or 15 breaths, whatever your limit is. Some people, 5 breaths, it's enough. They get all woo, woo, woozy, and dizzy, and tingly. Fine. Go 10, go 15, go that much. And when you activate the energy, don't stop breathing. Just let the breath turn gently in and out, softly and gently, and focus totally on relaxation and meditation on every cell in your body. That's enough, right? So let's start. We're going to do these way up high in the collarbones up here, 5, 10, or 15 big breaths, whatever you can manage, as big as you can, one right after the other, big open eyes, big open mouth, go. Now, don't stop breathing. Close your eyes. Meditate. Focus on every cell of your body. Let your breath keep moving by itself gently. Feel, relax, absorb, observe. Allow the breath to come and go. Meditate on the energy in your body. Generate beautiful emotions, gratitude, freedom, safety, compassion, acceptance, tolerance, self-love, gratitude, appreciation, awe, wonder. What's the most beautiful thing anyone could say to you? Speak those words to yourself. What are the most uplifting, nurturing words that you could speak to someone else to lift them up? Speak those words to yourself while you are breathing, while you're opening and expanding, relaxing and letting go. Program yourself. Give yourself some power statements, affirmations, declarations. I am an infinite being of light. I am safe. I am free. Whatever powerful affirmations you know would serve you, your highest spiritual aspirations. I am a divine being of light. I am a unique miracle. Dare to have such thoughts and breathe those thoughts into every cell of your body. Implant into your subconscious those thoughts with the breath. Infuse those thoughts and feelings and emotions into every cell of your body so they become part of your automatic self-conscious, a subconscious reality. You should be able to feel the breath in your fingertips. Feel the tingling in your fingertips. Feel heat in the palm of your hands. Feel energy streaming in your body. And this energy is actually light. And light takes the form of feelings and sensations and thoughts and emotions and actions and behaviors. This is the energy that is being formed and shaped by what we hold in consciousness. Pure, raw energy comes into us, and that pure creative energy takes the form and shape according to the thoughts and the beliefs and the habits and the patterns and the structures of our mind-body system. And we are running on survival patterns. Patterns, survival instincts and patterns that were meant to save us from a saber-toothed tiger. You know, survival patterns that we're still running. When was the last time you had to protect yourself from a saber-toothed tiger? And yet you have programs running that were designed to do that. They are obsolete. They have outlived their usefulness. You don't need them anymore. And you can begin to let them go. And maybe a thought like, you know, I'm surrounded by love and support from all the beings in my life. What a beautiful thought. And you know what? If you're honest about your life and you look at your life, that's a fact. Look at your own life. You are surrounded by beings in your life who love and support you. You just need to remember it. Remind yourself of it and breathe in the truth of that. And you will begin to relax. And you will begin to enjoy your body and enjoy life. Every physical trauma, every psychological trauma, every emotional trauma you have ever experienced in your life put some kind of inhibition on the breathing mechanism, put some kind of limitation on your breathing mechanism. And so you need to clear away all those inhibitions, all those blockages, so that you're breathing full and free again. And when you can breathe fully and freely, you can feel fully and freely. You can think clearly and brightly. So we clean up all the resistance and all the blocks in our breathing by practicing breathing high in our chest, low in our belly, breathing into our heart, breathing fast, breathing slow, breathing through the nose, breathing through the mouth, breathing in and out through the top of your head, breathing in and out through your third eye, breathing in and out through your heart, breathing in and out through your fingertips, breathing with your whole body. Fast, slow, high, low, nose, mouth, subtle, powerful. You practice breath work and you develop a big repertoire of breathing patterns and exercises and techniques. And you have this amazing toolbox that you can pull something out in the moment. I need to relax. And with one breath, I can relax completely. If I'm getting tired and fatigued and unconscious and I need to energize myself, and what happens? I'm energizing myself. I'm coming alive. I'm learning how to use my breath to move from any state into any other state, to shift in any direction, at any time. I can relax on demand. I can energize myself at will. I can take in and experience fully. I can let go of any limitation or negativity. And you know, the more you practice, you surprise yourself at how good you can get. I mean, the synopsis of my book is that all of the great states, the extraordinary abilities, the amazing high states that once was reserved only for the great warriors and the saints and the mystics and the gurus and the masters and the yogis, those same extraordinary abilities and high states are accessible to the average human being just through breathing. And if you don't believe it, prove it to yourself through practice, because it doesn't take much practice. So let's open it up for some questions, some comments, some jokes, some wisecracks. There's so much we can talk about. We have a limited amount of time. But based on what you heard, did you get anything? You have any ahas? You make any decisions? Do you have any questions, any comments about the practice? Anything weird happened to you while you were breathing? Let's hear from somebody, can we?
Yeah, sure. First question was, what has breath work been used to treat addictions, or what do you know about that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. People get up from breathing sessions and they say, oh my God, I have taken a lot of drugs to feel just like this. Holotropic breath work, transformational breathing. There are so many breath work styles. That's exactly what happens. You get high off of your own breath, so you don't need a drug. You learn how to relax yourself, so you don't need, relaxing medications. You can learn how to overcome your own depression, anxiety, fear, so you don't need those antidepressant drugs and anti-anxiety drugs. Absolutely, we can help addictions. You get addicted to the life force in the breath. You get addicted to the joy of living, a joy of breathing, and it replaces all the artificial stimulants and all the artificial, what's the opposite of a stimulant, right? Relaxants.
Yeah, thanks. And the next one also, I guess this touches back on what the purpose is, but what's the most effective way to breathe anatomically?
Well, first of all, consciously. As soon as you become conscious of your breathing, it doesn't matter how you're breathing. The fact that you are watching it carefully, feeling it closely, listening to it intently, you are totally absorbed in the breathing. And it doesn't matter how you're breathing, you are coming into awareness of the breath. That in itself is therapeutic. That in itself is transformative. So that's the first element. Here's three things you can take home. If you're going to practice a breathing technique, what's the best one to practice? Here's the answer. Practice a breathing technique that makes you more conscious of your breathing, more conscious of your body, more conscious of the muscles you use, more awake, more aware, more mindful, more conscious. Whatever breathing exercise allows you to become more conscious, more awake, breathing as a mindfulness practice, breathing as a meditative practice, that's the first thing. And if you practice that, the answer to the next question will probably come from that awakening of awareness, from that consciousness that you have just, from that mindfulness meditative practice. You'll have an aha. You'll have an intuitive insight, guaranteed. What is the next step? So the second thing is you practice any breathing exercise or technique that helps you to become better at relaxing, that helps you become better at letting go, of melting into your body and your being, of dissolving your borders and merging with everyone around you. So that second quality of relaxation, if you can only learn one breathing technique, learn a technique that allows you to relax profoundly. Because when you relax profoundly, something is going to open. The doors of perception will open. And when you relax, your system will automatically release it from itself any blockages, any suppressed emotions, any toxins. The third thing is breathe in a way that gives you a sense of energy, that activates bubbling, tingling, vibrations, percolating electrical sensations in your body. Learn how to breathe that produces those sensations. And then you bring it all together and you breathe in a way that you maintain your awareness, that you keep relaxing more, and you're keeping that feeling of bubbling, percolating, electrical, tingling energy alive in you. And that's my formula. If you get good at those three things and bring them all into one practice, you're going to accelerate your evolution big time. And you're going to awaken natural healing and creative energies, your intuition. You will connect with your higher self. You won't need me or anybody else. You'll be connected to the Akashic records or whatever you want to talk about it, our common consciousness. And a lot of the answers will be, a lot of the questions will be answering themselves.
Thanks. And step one, at least, leads on to one of the other questions that came up. So you speak about the difference between consciousness and awareness in your book, but wondering about how it's applicable to breath work when it comes to the difference. So in your opinion, is the distinction important when it comes to the breath?
Yeah, in Sanskrit language and maybe in some other ancient language, the word for consciousness and the word for awareness, they're slightly, I mean, we have the word consciousness, we have the word awareness. If you look up awareness in the dictionary, I think you'll see consciousness. If you look up consciousness, I think you'll see awareness. We use them almost synonymously. And it's the one place where the Buddha and Patanjali disagreed. They only disagreed on one or two things. And I wish they could have met and talked it out, because I think we would find that there was no disagreement at all. It was just semantics or a slightly different way of representing things. But one of the ways that they disagreed was that the Buddha said, consciousness, awareness, it's the same thing. But Patanjali said, no, they could not be more different. Consciousness is subject to all the same laws and dynamics as everything else in nature. That means consciousness is subject to gravity, and it's subject to all the other forces in nature that everything else in nature, all the forces in nature, consciousness is part of that. However, awareness is totally outside of that. And maybe the best analogy is that a television screen. So whatever I see on the television screen, that's consciousness. But a TV cannot watch itself. It requires an external awareness to observe what's happening on that TV screen. So what's happening on the TV screen to me is consciousness. But the one who is watching, pure awareness, is outside of that. And so that's my understanding of the difference between conscious awareness and awareness. And I actually, one of my original teachers, Ken Kies, used the term conscious awareness. And that really feels right to me, conscious awareness.
Thanks. Another popular one was, when you're working through trauma, how do you use breath work safely so it's not triggering?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at basic, simple things. When I access a deep emotion that makes me want to cry, what's the first thing that happens? Or one of the obvious things that happens is that my throat closes up, right? So powerful emotions cause our throat to close up, cause our chest to contract. The body's trying to protect itself from this powerful emotion, this intense emotion. So what do? We relax our throat. We move breath back and forth through our throat to keep our throat open. And we allow that emotional energy to flow. So I'm using the breath to help the expression of the emotion. We don't stop breathing to cry, and we don't stop crying to breathe. We learn how to breathe while we are crying. And you see little children, they still have that pure skill. And usually it's right after the peak of the sadness or the crying, and they have this beautiful thing that's happening. They're like, it's like the shaking of the body by the breath, or the shaking of the breath by the body. That's so pure. That's so beautiful. That's the breath dissolving the residue of the emotions. That's the remaining emotions being processed by the breathing. It's so pure. It's so natural. And so I actually invented a breathing technique that we copy it. I didn't invent it. You copy nature. What's a breath that you see when someone's processing sadness? And so we just turn that into a breathing technique. It already looks like a breathing technique. So I practice that technique. And the next time I'm processing sadness or pain or grief, I practice that breathing. I'm harmonizing my conscious breathing pattern with how my body and my breath wants to process that emotion naturally. And I accelerate that process, and I'm left pure and clean with no residue of trauma. See, every time we've had a trauma, we recovered, maybe we recovered 90%. Maybe we recovered 95%. Maybe we recovered 99%. But there was that little 1% residue. Then we had another trauma. Then we had another trauma, emotional, psychological, physical. And little residues of traumas are accumulating in our system. And more they are blocking our aliveness and they're inhibiting the breath. So we bring the power of the breath itself to break through and dissolve all those layers of trauma that are inhibiting the breath itself. And once the breath is full and free, it will burn away all those layers. And if we can peel away those layers, each time we peel away a layer, our breath opens a little more. So it's a game of working with our mind, working with our body, and working with our breath. And it's that tri-spirit mind body approach, breath being represented by spirit. And we can navigate anything that way with a little practice.
Just a little. So a question asking about these times. So with COVID and breathing advice, do you have any advice for people with it or people when you're wearing masks or anything like that?
Right. Thank you. Hey, the mask thing right now, a big cutting trend in fitness training is resistance breathing. You Google resistance breathing mask or resistance breathing devices, and they're all over the place now. You create resistance, and then it makes you have to breathe harder, and then you strengthen your breathing system. Interesting approach and probably quite beneficial for many people. So wearing a mask is kind of involuntary breathing resistance training. When you put on a mask, some people immediately, they feel like they're suffocating. They can't get enough air. So what you do is you just relax. I can't get enough air. Those are thoughts. You get a handle on your mind. No, I'm okay. Slow down, relax. You can breathe, it's okay. So you can use a mask to get over some of those fears of suffocation, of inhibited breathing. So it could be quite useful. And on the other side of it, is this social distancing. And we're actually, people are beginning to be afraid to breathe next to each other. I want to do something about that because we need to breathe together. And so I think in these days of social distancing, we need to find deeper ways to connect. We need to create better ways, higher ways to connect. Use the opportunity that social distancing is giving us to create new ways to connect more deeply, in more ways, more creatively, more lovingly. So I see this whole COVID thing as a gift. I mean, we all know that there's a silver lining to every cloud. We all know that things that we think are really horrible, in the end, we learn from them, we grow from them, and in the end, we can actually be grateful for them. Now, for many people, it's hard to be grateful for what's happening in the world. And so the best thing we can do is don't add to our own suffering with unnecessary negative thinking, with unnecessary physical tension, with breath holding and shallow breathing. That just makes everything worse. Go in the other direction. Start introducing positive, loving thoughts. Start opening your heart to other people. Start releasing the tension and the stress from your body. And you will shift, you will grow, and you will start to actually feel grateful for whatever life brings our way.
Thank you, Dan. And I think that may be a nice little place where we can take a breath and start moving towards wrap up. So where can people, I know you've got breathmastery.com. I'll put that down here in the chat. But is there any other stuff you're offering at the moment or what people can find out?
Thank you. Yes, Instagram, at Dan Brulé Official. And on Facebook, Dan Brulé Breath Mastery. So thank you for that. Breathmastery.com, at Dan Brulé Official, and Dan Brulé Breath Mastery. You'll find me also on Facebook. Well, thank you so much. And I wish you all, you know, this, like somebody used to say, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? And the answer was practice. You know, how do we get whatever we want in life? We envision it, we intend it, and we begin practicing making it real. And breathing is a way to make real what we dream of holding consciousness, make it practical, make it an actual practice.
Yeah. Thank you. I was going to ask for you to give me a one sentence top tip on embodiment after making a couple announcements, but that's almost it. But maybe I'll give you another chance as well and make a couple announcements and come back to you. So good. Dan's talk, if anyone wants to invite anyone along to watch it, it's going to be on replays for 48 more hours. It'll be up in an hour or so after this. So please do invite your friends along to check that out. If you'd like to own all the conference talks, all 1,000 of them, or just like a channel, like the Breathwork Meditation channel, obviously the superior channel, you can also do that. So the upgrades are possible. It really helps us out to do so, and it sort of enables everyone else to have it free as well, getting it live. So that's the whole library to digest in your own time. You may also choose to head across to the Facebook group. We have some discussions. We invite presenters that they can post there as well if they've got any new offers. So you can check that out, and also go to the coffee break rooms. If you want to have a chat to people, people take a little bit of a break after these sessions, then head to the coffee break rooms. It's kind of nice to integrate as well, talking to some other people, breathing together across space and time. So thank you everyone for this. Next up will be a keynote session with David Abrams at midnight UK time, which is in 1 hour. It's whatever the hell time it is, wherever you are. And then in 3 hours will be another one on Breathwork and Meditation channel. So to wrap things up, Dan, do you have a sentence or two to give us top tip on how to be more embodied?
When you breathe, focus on every cell of your body and deliberately distribute the breath energy to every cell of your body. And when you exhale, relax every bone, every joint, every organ, and drop down and expand and radiate.
Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day on that note.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Cheers, everyone.